God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is the words of Jesus from the cross, from John chapter 19, 25 through 27, especially when Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, and saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. I will admit, when I get to this word on the cross, the first thought that enters my mind is, ouch. I begin that way because if it was me on the cross, I wouldn't necessarily be thinking of other people. I'd be thinking of my own pain, my own misery. I'd be thinking, you know, why me? Why not someone else? If it was me up there, first words out of my mouth would be, "Why me, Lord?" Maybe ouch would be first. But not so with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our Savior is not selfish, but looks after taking care of his mother and a disciple whom he loved. And with these words of Jesus, we can also pick up some very important lessons. First, we have to realize that Jesus taught us to love even when we're dying. And that's got to be very, very difficult. To take our natural instinct of trying to preserve ourselves and focus it to someone else has got to be very challenging. I will admit, the closest thing that I can even comprehend to illustrate this is the relationship between a parent and a child. Being a parent, I know that if someone would ask me, "Would you rather have harm be done to you or to one of your little ones?" I'll take the harm in a heartbeat. That's the only possible scenario I can possibly think of. Other than that, I guess maybe I'm just showing my own selfishness. Because if it was me on the cross, yes, I'd be saying, ouch. I wouldn't be going to the cross for anyone else. But yet, while he was in the process of dying, while he was in the process of saving the world, he's not coming up with selfish thoughts. But he wants to make sure that his mother is taken care of. They didn't have 401ks. They didn't have bank accounts and savings accounts like we have today. They didn't have some Social Security fund. He needed this disciple whom he loved to take care of his own mother because he wasn't going to be able to. Jesus could have been so overwhelmed by his own pain and his own suffering that he would have had no thought of any other person. I know that would have been me. Fortunately, you're not looking to me as your Savior. You're looking to Jesus, the Christ. In the midst of dying, he was still thinking of others. I'm amazed that sometimes when I go and make my hospital visits, and I go and I visit people at home who are in the process of dying. You know, sometimes I get people who say, "Oh, Pastor, you know, it hurts here, it hurts there," and so forth down the line, and I patiently and I listen because, you know, that's important to them. But every once in a while, I run across someone who sits there and says, "Oh, Pastor, I don't want to talk about my problems. And you don't want to hear about my problems either. What's going on at the church? How are things happening in your own family?" And I'm sitting there and I'm amazed going, "Wait a minute. You've got all these medical issues. You know, soon you're going to be with our Savior in heaven above. And you want to know what's going on in my family?" Yes, there are a lot of people who aren't as selfish as I am. It gives me a little bit of hope that yes, Christ has made a difference. There are other people in the world that do think of others. Fortunately, our Savior is one of them. The next lesson we can learn from Jesus, in one essence, is how we die. We live in a society where we do a lot of passing on of information to the next generation, maybe verbally, maybe non-verbally. A lot of the things that we were raised with, we hang on to, and either purposefully or unintentionally, we pass on to the next generation. We learn how to work from others. We learn how to fish, how to garden. We learn how to raise families. By the way, we were raised or from some other people. We learn how to cook from other people. We learn all about the details of life from others. As one generation passes this information on to the next generation, this is the way life is. But then how do we die? And what were the messages about death that you learned? Today, as we look at our Savior, in the midst of dying, our Savior teaches us something very important. He teaches us that we don't get to choose the way we're going to die. He didn't get to choose it either. And there's a lot of things in life that you do have choices over, but then there are some things in life that we don't have choices over. And yes, there are a few fortunate people, you know, they may die in their sleep or die in a very peaceful way. Unfortunately, when I worked at a hospital, I can't say that everyone died that way. And there are some people, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who die in a very unpleasant way. But even in the most unpleasant way of crucifixion, a very torturous way, Jesus is not thinking of himself. He's thinking of others. In this grand scheme of things, he knows that the plan of salvation is more important than his own self. He was willing to lay down his life, not just for friends, not just for special people in his life, but even for, quote unquote, sinners like you and me. Sinners who are selfish, sinners who are self-focused, who can't even see beyond themselves. Sinners like you and me. We have a Savior who sits there and says, I still love you. Even though you may focus a lot about yourself, I'm still willing to die for you. Even though you wouldn't be willing to die for me. A Savior who looks out for his mother and a dearly beloved disciple in the moment of his death. As we hear this wonderful message of our Lord and Savior and how he does care for you and for me, I hope we do hear that message. Because the guilt within ourselves can be really, really great. Because if we do truly examine our thoughts, I'm willing to admit I have a lot more selfish thoughts. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, Pastor, wait a minute, I know who you are. You know, you're not that selfish. I mean, you do a lot of things for other people. Well, fair enough, yep, I do. But inside my heart, my sinful nature kicks in and says, yeah, I am selfish. And the only reason I can admit that, yes, I am selfish, is because I know I have a Savior who's not selfish. A Savior who is willing to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and your sins. Because I can confess my sins. And I know I have a loving God who forgives me and restores me. So as we see Jesus taking care of his mother and a disciple of whom he loves, I don't know about you, it puts me to shame. But then it gives me comfort. And where that comfort comes from is that, yes, Jesus does love sinners. He wouldn't allow himself to be put into that position of being nailed to the cross if he didn't love you. He cares for humanity a lot more than I care for humanity. Some of you may know I am a pet lover. I love pets. I was raised with cats. Had since been married, now have had some dogs, had some fish. I like animals. And it's kind of interesting about animal lovers. Because animal lovers, I will admit, are a little bit of a particular breed, pardon the pun. But as I start hearing some of the animal lover humor, and I recently got one of these interesting email messages, there's a little bit of sarcasm in some of this message about saying, I love the animal world. You know, they're very loving. They're very caring. It's the human world I have a hard time dealing with. It's interesting. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, through him, animals were created. Through him, humanity was also created. He doesn't like our selfishness, our uncaringness, but he still loves us, even willing to die for us. The other interesting message connected to this is that our Savior still is willing to take care of us. As he takes care of his mother and the disciple whom he loved, even in his dying moments, that's a theme that he will carry with you each and every day of your life. He will still be there to take care of you, even when it feels like your own life is as bad as his at the moment, being crucified with all the pains and the weight of sin of this world bearing upon you, Jesus still cares for you. How can I say that? He's the one that was crucified and cares for others. We see Jesus' own demonstration of his own life in service to other people. So we thank the Lord. Can we learn some very important lessons from Jesus hanging on the cross at Golgotha with two thieves on both sides? Hecklers below. Jesus, yes, was able to carry on with his mission. He was also surrounded by people whom he loved. Two people he loved the most here on earth. His mother and, in one essence, his best friend. In his last act of compassion, Jesus refocuses on their needs and asks them to take care of each other in the future as a family. And that's sort of the last point here. You see, being connected to the body of Christ, as Christians we are a family. And as a family, we should care for one another, support one another in time of need. But that requires two things. One, it requires someone to be there to listen. But it also requires someone to hold up their hand and saying, I need help. Sometimes we're really quick to listen, but we're not too quick to say, I need help. Our Lord and Savior hopefully will get through to us on this point. He knits us together in the body of Christ as a family to encourage one another. One of the things I love about these midweek Lenten services is this another opportunity of the week to receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Another opportunity to hear God's word. Amen. But also another opportunity to gather and encourage one another. Amen. And last, not the least, the wonderful time we have at the table eating soup beforehand. To hear one another's stories, to encourage one another in the faith. Part of that Christian fellowship. So this last point that we need to take is Jesus in his dying hour is knitting together a family through his death and resurrection, knits together the family of God. As you are part of the body of Christ in which you are baptized into, God made you part of this family. You are now adopted sons and daughters, and we have these family get-togethers. Yes, there'll be some bickering at times, but the family get-together is to encourage one another. Because while we're this side of heaven, we have our own crosses to bear, and we need that help. Notice Mary didn't say, Jesus, I know you love me, but I can take care of myself. That would be the Lutheran response, wouldn't it? I'm joking. Mary accepted the gift her son gave to her. You have a new son, a new family who's going to take care of you. Likewise, in the body of Christ, we need to realize we are not islands. We're not individuals, but we are here together to encourage one another. Let's not let our sinful human nature get the best of us and saying, I don't need help. I can fix my own problems. I can do it on my own. If you're willing to admit you need a Savior for the forgiveness of sins, also take the gift of the family He gives to you. A new family. A family that should be focused about love, should be focused about encouraging one another. But I will admit, sometimes this new family, we even bicker. We're not perfect. At least not on this side of heaven. But still the family that God gave us, a community of believers, being focused upon God's word and sacraments to encourage and to strengthen one another. So this day, we give great praise and thanks to God for the gifts He has given you. He cares for you. He's focused about you. He's not self-centered, but He does truly care for you so much He puts you in a family that should care for you, feed you with God's word, strengthen you with the sacraments, and encourage you with the faith. Let's not rebel and try to leave this family, but embrace the gift that God gave you, the gift of His life, and the gift of the fellowship of believers we have because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are part of His family. And when we have to suffer and bear our crosses, and in the midst of our own pain and misery, the first words out of our mouth may be, ouch. But how about the next words saying, Lord, and my Christian family, I need help. The Lord answers. He's there for you. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.